The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
You know what day it is. It's April 8th. It's Monday, April 8th, 2024. How long have we anticipated this? Somebody went and found a newspaper. I don't know. I think it was from Ohio for the last total eclipse somewhere. And there's the headline saying, you know, that won't happen again until 2024. And I'm sure at that time that just sounded like some strange Star Trek science fiction future date. When will we ever get there? Well, we're here right now. And it is genuinely once in a lifetime because we won't get another band of totality striping its way through DFW for 100 years at least, right? So today is the day. So what will happen? What's in the weather forecast? And what lies in store? I'll tell you what let's do. And in fact, there's an observation I'm going to make about this, because clearly all the astronomy dorks are thrilled by this. And just but it's fascinating just as people, because everyone's, I just can't keep from thinking back to days long before we understood stuff like this. You know, folks running around in the woods or whatever, wherever they'd be running around in ancient times, and the moon would move in front of the disk of the sun, and it would get, and by the way, everybody, it is not going to be dark, right? It's not going to be like night. It's going to be like dawn or dusk. It'll be very gray, very muted, but it is not going to be like night, all right? Please. But back in the day, go far enough back where people just did not quite understand what this was, and people thought it was punishment from God, or I wonder if everybody behaved a lot better in the days immediately following an eclipse, as if that was just some kind of stern elbow to the ribs that says, I'm watching you. I don't know. But there is something about what's going to happen this afternoon, and it should start at about 12:23. And that's when, in the minutes following that, you will see the circle of the moon, the disk of the sun, slowly, ever so slowly, begin to impede upon the surface of the sun. Get your glasses out. Make sure the glasses are good. There's all kind of articles to make sure your glasses are legit. Amazon themselves apparently shipped out about a squillion pair of glasses that weren't any good and said, "Ooh, we're sorry." Moment of totality is apparently 1:40. And then the moon will continue to move and will move off the face of the sun, but it'll take another hour and a fraction to do that, so the whole thing should be done at about 2:15, 2:17. So there we are. And when things like this happen, and you don't have to react this way, everybody reacts differently. I think about atheists a lot, agnostics and such. It's just a happy accident. The heavens just exist because, they just do. There's no intelligent creator. There's nobody who did this. None of it is for our benefit. It's just an amazing coincidence. And the incredible coincidence of this, of the size of the disk of the moon and the size of the disk of the sun, that's worth pondering. And so I'll ponder about that with you here in just a couple minutes. 866-660-5759. And while pondering things of such a lofty nature, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of this new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our schools and public spaces are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, and we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. And as we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Speaking of the number of genders created by God, did you catch any women's college ball over the weekend? Iowa and Caitlin Clark, their season came to an end, and her career, her amazing career, came to an end at the hands of those amazing undefeated Gamecocks of South Carolina. Their coach is Dawn Staley, who clearly does a pretty great job of coaching, but who needs to learn a thing or two about gender. Somebody asked her, and this does happen when you get to Super Bowls and national championships and big big events where there's a spotlight of attention on everybody. You might get the occasional question, the occasional curveball. And since this is one of the biggest events in women's sports, I mean, the Iowa-Connecticut game got like 14 million viewers, more than the World Series. I mean, please. And do please understand that that's Caitlin Clark. And I don't say that to minimize women's ball. It's entertaining. It's good. WNBA is good. It has an audience. But a lot of people say, "Oh, that's it. WNBA is going to be like this every year." Yeah, or the college game. Yeah, it's not. WNBA might, because here in about a week you have the WNBA draft, and Caitlin Clark will become a member of the Indiana Fever. So all of a sudden you will have heard of them now, and there may be a huge amount of attention to see if she can dominate in the pros the way she did in college. But will there be an increased audience for next year's women's college basketball season? Sure there will, of course, deservedly so. Will it be as big as this year? No, because this year was mostly about Caitlin Clark. But, you know, as will sometimes happen, great teams beat great player. And she's fantastic, but South Carolina was just better, just, you know, woman by woman, better. And anyway, Coach Staley was asked early on in the weekend, "Hey, what do you think about dudes playing in women's sports?" Uh-oh. Now, you'd like to think that if there's anybody who's going to understand the ridiculousness, the absurdity of a man playing in women's sports simply because he identifies as a woman, it's going to be a coach. I mean, how do you think, I wonder how Iowa would have done, you know, if Bronny James had suited up, LeBron's kid at college age. Wonder how that would have gone. You know how it would have gone. However, stuck in a panic, and women's college sports, I mean, the universities are liberal environments, college sports are liberal environments, women's college sports, particularly liberal environments, and she got asked the question, and she vapor-locked and essentially said, "If you think you're a woman, you should be able to play." And she absolutely got roasted and deserved it. It's a time for courage. You have got to stand up for your sport. When the people who are the stewards, the main players in women's sports are willing to see them destroyed, boy, do we have a problem. And then, it's kind of interesting, so then she, and my first tweet after they won was, listen, Dawn Staley has a thing or two to learn about how many genders there are and about men playing women's sports, but her coaching acumen is unassailable. Congrats, Gamecocks, undefeated. Good for them. In her comments thereafter, there were a few God references, which I always appreciate. And she referred to, you know, thanking the Most High God for this, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there are some folks who noticed, just kind of, it occurred to them, as it did to me, that if you are going to telegraph your awareness of God, if you are going to invoke him, if you are going to speak of him often, if you are going to I don't want to say wrap your achievement in his glory, but I mean, which you should do is that that's, you know, all these athletes who say, I want to give God the glory for, you know, winning the Super Bowl, not that God was picking teams, but for to have the opportunity and have the gifts of talent, et cetera. So that's always good. That's always, always appropriate. However, it did occur to me that if Dawn Staley is so mindful of God, that maybe she should be aware of what his creation is. Man and woman, I created you. Now, if she's an agnostic, atheist, there are 47 genders, you know, we're all here by happy accident person, then that standard doesn't really exist. But if you're going to walk around telegraphing a whole lot of God references, there comes with that a responsibility to be aware of his creation and what he created. He created man. He created woman. And that's it. And those are defined. Those definitions are biblical, and they're also scientific. Even the atheist knows how many genders there are. So anyway, 866-660-5759. And speaking of God, I tell you who I have to think, I have to thank about this. This is a little pronouncement from a gentleman named Stephen Danish at Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield, Virginia. And this is just great. And the gentleman who posted this over the weekend is a guy who has a lot of time on his hands. So God love him. That would be Mike Pence, and good for him, by the way. So now that he's not running for president and, you know, not bagging on Trump on TV every day, I'm feeling a lot more warmly toward the former vice president. But he put something up from, and I don't know if he has a connection to the school or just knows the guy, but this is from Stephen Danish, the head of school at Emmanuel Christian School in Springfield, Virginia. Scientists tell us that the sun is about 400 times larger than the moon, but it's also about 400 times farther away. Every 18 months or so, they align perfectly so that the moon's shadow passes over someplace on the earth, and those in the path of that shadow see a solar eclipse. And that's often described as one of the great coincidences of our solar system. Astronomers also tell us there are 295 moons in our solar system. And yet, ours is the only moon with the exact size and distance to perfectly match the sun and produce the amazing spectacle we see somewhere on the planet every 18 months or so. If our moon was any smaller, the sky would not turn darker. And if it was any larger, we wouldn't see that brilliant corona. For many, it is a source of wonder that the one place where these amazing eclipses occur is the one place where there are observers to see them. In one of his humorous harangues about life below the Beltway, Washington Post contributor Gene Weingarten once admitted, "I am a devout atheist, but I can't explain why the moon is exactly the right size and gets positioned so precisely between the Earth and the sun that total solar eclipses are perfect. It bothers me." And so it is that this extraordinary event has been witnessed by our planet throughout history. As a Christian educator, I'm reminded that God reveals his truth to us in multiple ways, through the general revelation of his natural world and through the special revelation of his written word. Psalm 19 encapsulates this beautifully. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork." There are no words, and yet the message of God's existence and power is heard everywhere. So, that's why eclipses are pretty special. 7:21, let's get a little look at some of this morning's coverage of it, and then we'll plow forward into various other things. Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m. The Answer, 7:21.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
Let's see, we burned through Cat Stevens' Moon Shadow on Friday.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
And a few more
she's always gone
in the pipeline for today about the presence or absence of sunshine. Away. Just invoking the sun in some way or another.
Wonder this time.
So thanks to Bill Withers. Ain't no sunshine. Won't be no sunshine mid-afternoon. And just once again, the weather is just dicey. It calls for clouds. From a few days ago, it just looked like today was going to be overcast, maybe even raining. And then things started to improve. And in fact, it looked like, the single logo for today shows partly cloudy, or it did until yesterday. Now, it's partly cloudy now, and it's going to remain. The sun will be out 8, 9, 10. That'll be great. Can we keep that together? Maybe. But then it gets a little cloudy at 11, 12, and 1. And then the 2 o'clock hour is totally cloudy. But it's the 1 o'clock hour during which we'll have the moment of totality. So, just fingers crossed. But the cloud logo, if it's a high shelf of clouds you can sort of see through, then you may still be okay. May still be all right. A couple of observations about how today may go, and then we'll hop into the newsroom and Nikki Whaley will come back. And Larry Collins is at UTA. Let me ask you, are you going to some shindig of some sort for this? I'm going to walk into my backyard. Now, of course, I have the luxury of not having to be, necessarily at work at, 1:40 in the afternoon. But I am the guy who told you last week that all of this talk of apocalyptic traffic mishaps and declarations of states of emergency and travel restrictions, and better to be overprepared than underprepared. Absolutely. But I think a lot of this is hype, and I don't know if the reality is going to rise to meet the level of the hype. Now, I will tell you that as we've tooled around over the weekend, saw, I think, like South Lake Town Square is going to do a thing, UTA. I mean, all kinds of places are doing a lot of restaurants and patios and stuff. Come for the cocktails, stay for the eclipse. There's a certain appeal to being around a bunch of people and making it a little more memorable. But once you get there, once you're there and once it's done, then you got to get home. And and while I don't think this is going to be like Woodstock or anything like that, it could be interesting, say middle of the afternoon. So now I will tell you this: if we are indeed denied the spectacle, my buddy, my high school play-by-play icon pal, Chuck Kelly, as we speak, hang on a second, he is headed for Searcy, Arkansas. Left his Tarrant County home at 2:30 in the morning. Might be there by now. He's headed to Searcy, Arkansas, because apparently sunshine there. So got a small plane that might work for you. But if you left at 2:30 in the morning, there you are. And I told him that's commitment. If we are robbed of the experience, robbed of the spectacle, let's do a quick hit tomorrow. But my fingers are crossed that we will actually be able to see it as well. So let me give you Larry's report out at UTA, because that's just nothing but fun, and get us ready for this, and then ready for, oh, by the way, on any other day, the top story would be Donald Trump's going to talk about abortion today. Uh-oh. And when I say uh-oh, I mean the stakes are obviously incredibly high. What I want him to do is be pro-life, obviously. What I need him to do is win. Is there wiggle room between those? Is there conflict between those goals? Got a little bit of a heads up on what the former president may say in his quest to become our next president. We'll talk to you about that too. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 7:30. Nikki Whaley's in the newsroom.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
There you go.
And it burns, burns, burns.
A reference?
The ring of fire.
To the Corona.
The ring of fire.
Makes you want that morning beer, doesn't it? The Corona reference. All right, a little vintage Johnny Cash. 866-660-5759. All right, here's Larry Collins, ensconced at UTA about an hour and a half ago.
Good morning and happy Eclipse Day. You know, this is going to be one of the hot spots in North Texas. They're expecting anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people to gather here in the campus of UTA. We're right outside the planetarium, one of the hot spots at the hot spot. And we know a lot of people are going to have to get on the roads to get here. It's quiet right now, but that's going to certainly change. And TxDOT has been working around the clock for weeks now to make sure that everything is ready and set. TxDOT expecting around a million people traveling to and through the state of Texas with the sole purpose of seeing the eclipse. Now, they have 24-hour emergency services now in place, along with extra crew and equipment. They are ready to direct traffic to keep everything moving all day long, and they know that is not going to be very easy. They say they need the help of drivers as well.
One of the things we're really trying to encourage people to do is to arrive early, stay put, and leave late. What that means is get there a little bit earlier than you might expect. And then when you're there, stay there a little extra longer, support those local businesses, support, you know, those local communities that you may not have been there before to see the eclipse. That way you can kind of elongate that time after the eclipse and spread that flow of traffic as people go home.
Now, distracted driving is a major concern today, not just for TxDOT, but also for local law enforcement. They say expect heavy traffic and sudden stops by drivers on.
What sudden stops is, and I listen, if even if only, what percentage of us are stupid?
I don't know. Well, 75.
And even if, let's say, there's only really a 10% complete numbskull population. Are people going to be like leaning out their car window like a dog and, well, something's eating up the sun and rear end somebody in front of them? Probably.
Roadways, also be on alert for distracted pedestrians, people who are looking up at the sky as they walk. But today they say keep your headlights on while you're driving, even in the daylight. And of course, they say do not wear these, your eclipse glasses, while you're trying to drive. They say if you are driving during the eclipse itself, keep going. Don't slow down. Don't stop in the middle of the road trying to see. Don't even pull over on the side of the road to try to see. If you have to, get in a parking lot, but be prepared. You may be stuck in that parking lot for a very long time.
Oh, my goodness gracious me. All right, that's my last my last moment of eclipse coverage. I think we've but feel free, as I now head into stuff going on in the earthly news, feel free to give us a shout. 866-660-5759. What are you going to do? What are your eclipse plans? Now, what you have here on the, as far as let me give you the little PSA here. If you've grabbed some paper glasses, there's one thing you can try when you put them on. It shouldn't be like wearing sunglasses where you can still kind of see stuff in the room. It should be pretty well black. And in fact, if you want to run, because the sun will be out this morning, if you want to look straight up at it, and it should just look like a little disc, like the moon would look if you looked up at it with the naked eye. But again, before any of the eclipse stuff actually begins at about 12:23. But there is a little notation that would be in the on the little headband, the little side prong of your glasses, that says conforms to and meets the transmission requirements of ISO 12312-2. ISO 12312-2 filters for direct observation of the sun. So good luck with all that. There you go. 866-660-5759. All right, before I go to what Trump has in store for us on one of the more contentious issues of the day, let's hop to a couple of calls. We are in Burleson. Angela, hey, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
Oh, great.
Hey.
I just wanted to add an adjunctive statement to yours about the things that stupid people will do today during the eclipse. And I have to quote the great George Carlin, who said, think of the average person and how dumb that person is. And then remember, 50% of the people are dumber than that.
That's by definition. That's right. If it's the median average. Yeah, nothing should surprise anybody. So what are your Burleson area eclipse plans?
Oh, Alex should be watching today from work. I work in Fort Worth, so I'll be watching. We have a field behind our building, and I'll just be out there watching with my ISO glasses.
There you go. Got to make sure you're – that is good, good, good. Angela, thank you very – yeah, very, very, very good. Think of how dumb the average person is, and then remember, by definition, half of the people are dumber than that person. Oh, goodness gracious me. All right, 866-660-5759. All right, this is going to require some sharpness and some thinking caps, because this is going to be a big day for President Trump. Every day is a big day for him, obviously. But on this one, today is a day where the reactions to what he says and does could shape a development that leads to helping his campaign or not. And that's what I want to ask you about, because this is something that has reared its head. Mike has been talking about this forever. Boy, you want a quick update on Mike? Hang on a second. Let me share with you just a little bit of what he's been. And this is speaking of the planet and how, you know, the amazing ride that we're all on, the Earth going around the sun and the moon orbiting around the Earth and then the moon passes in front of the sun. I'm just in awe of just time zones and how the planet all works, because when I go to bed, if I go to bed at 11 o'clock at night, it's 1 o'clock the following afternoon in Tokyo. They're at 14 hours. Right, hang on a sec. Alexa, what time is it in Tokyo?
In Tokyo, it's 9:43 p.m.
It's 9:43 at night. Yeah, of course, because Mike has said he will join us one day this week. I'm going to hold him to this. He's a busy boy, though. He's got a lot going on over there. But you got to check out. So he's been sending me the raw footage of what he's been putting on the YouTube channel. So hit that Mike Gallagher Show YouTube channel. You'll see him standing in front of the bullet train. Got to get me on one of those bullet trains, either the TGV in France, or I'm probably more likely to do the TGV in France than I am to truck my butt to Japan. But I am fascinated. And as I said to him, and I think this is played out by some of the, he's standing in the middle of downtown Tokyo. That the whole thing is like an amusement park. The whole thing is like you're standing in the middle of a pinball machine. And I mean, if I'm like 20, I just think my brain would leak out my ears after a while. But get on board that bullet train out to Kyoto, and you have the cherry blossoms and temples and just amazing stuff. But he sent me a picture of some woman hanging out a second story window, sitting there in some anime schoolgirl skirt with blue hair, just waving and smiling for the day, as long as the day is long. And it's like, okay. And it's just, I want to talk about this next hour, because this burst into some interesting conversations that I had over the weekend. So it's funny. We were, Jimmy Kimmel had his Japan observation. And that he returned to America and felt like we were just filthy. maybe the whole rest of the world is. Because, and I don't know, Seoul, Korea, same deal for the most part. I don't think this extends to Beijing. Is Beijing kind of nasty? I don't know. Anyway, though, but Tokyo is just, you can eat off the floors of most places. And it got me to thinking, why can't we do that? Or emulate that in some fashion. And I think, and we sort of danced around this a little bit last week, there are trade-offs in society. Japan is very monolithic. Everyone is Japanese. everyone. Obviously, they have some migrant population. Not much. It is homogenous. They have a shared culture, a shared ethos, a shared discipline, and they are all willing to subsume a lot of their individuality up under that for the greater good of a society of a certain type that has certain standards. And we're never going to do that, because we are big and messy, quite literally. And with all kinds of people from all kinds of places and all kinds of individuality and that doesn't mean that our cities need to be cesspools. We have, we have clean cities, we have tricky cities, but that level of devotion requires a unanimity of commitment to it requires a unanimity of commitment to it that we're just never going to have because we're all off doing our own little individual American things. By the way, I wouldn't want it any other way. You know, every country gets to do its gig and do what it, whatever it wants to do. And that's what they, and it's funny because, again, it is a trade-off. So for that sort of lockstep behavioral harmony that you get in Japan, that can yield some benefits, like incredibly clean everything. We're never going to have that nationwide. And I'm prepared to be good with that because of the kind of individualistic, big, crazy, broad tapestry that America is. All right, Trump on abortion. He will speak today. What will he say? Preview next. Mark Davis, 7:48. I'm going to double dip for the way, 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 way back machine. The recording is not as old as they usually are, pre-1954-55. But the song is, it's a Johnny Cash cover of
"The Other Night,
You Are My Sunshine."
As I lay sleeping, I dreamed I
those magnificent American recordings that Rick Rubin did in Johnny's closing days.
When I awoke, dear, I was mistaken. So I bowed my head and I cried.
It's from Unearthed, the box set.
You are my sunshine.
Sunshine songs.
My only sunshine.
All righty. 866-660-5759. There'll be some light shed on what President Trump has in his what his thoughts are in terms of what his abortion views are going to be. And it essentially involves he is the president who gave us the judiciary that overturned Roe v. Wade. So that is something that is an amazing victory that every pro-lifer should celebrate. And I obviously have. Is leaving it like that, where states like California and New York can have abortion laws as ghoulish as they wish, is that pro-life enough for me? No, it's not. Am I able, however, to recognize that heading out and telegraphing a national abortion ban right now could lose him the election? Yes, I am. And how many babies have we saved if we get another 4 years of Joe Biden? And maybe a Democrat House and a Democrat Senate. So, in playing the long game, here's the preview article. It is something which is going to be talked about a lot. And on Fox News, former President Donald Trump announced his position on whether abortion should be banned, following months of not taking a stance on this combustible and crucial issue in his 2024 rematch with Biden. The presumptive Republican presidential nominee took to his social media platform on Sunday night to say that he would issue a statement on abortion and abortion rights. And in video posted this morning, and I'm going to go get that here and we'll play it in the next hour, Trump explicitly affirmed his support for in vitro fertilization, IVF, and he emphasized his support for states determining their own laws for abortion. Now, President Trump did stick up for exceptions for rape, incest, and life of the mother. Life of the mother, of course. Life of the mother, of course. If your position is going to be let the states do what they wish, then you need to let the states do what they wish. And if a state chooses to actually believe that unborn life is sacred, and this has always been the heavy lifting, and there's been, I think, some progress on this. I've been talking to you about this for years. The horrible crimes of rape and incest do not affect the sacred nature of the unborn life that result. Women who are victimized by this need our prayerful support, our love. Many of them, that may just be Exhibit A for an adoption situation. Whatever they want to do, But does a life become extinguishable because of the circumstance under which it's created? That is a no. If you believe that the unborn life is sacred. If you don't believe the unborn life is sacred, then abortion's okay for any reason. Got four kids, don't need another one. Just not convenient right now. Just don't want one. Just not ready. Because you're pro-choice. So, here, let me take the pause here because it gets a little, involved and multi-layered. And so we'll see whether, because there, it's like two questions. Do you agree with the Trump position on this? And does it help him win? They may not be the same answer. 866-660-5759, Mark Davis, 757.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.